these meditations, or Krishna's, are simply called smaranam. It means simple recollections. Being a non-English speaker, I like this word. You are highly inspiring with the coughing. To recollect. To collect means to go out and lift things up from the ground. And to recollect means you have had already some contact with these things. Please excuse me. And how to collect these jewels, how to hold them in the heart, in the basket of the heart, if we want to use poetry, that we will learn in this seminar. I'm basing this on a very wonderful verse. Yang mang smitva gada, gada bhavati, yang mang smitva puta, puto bhavati, yang mang smitva vrati, vrati bhavati, yang smitva sakamo, nishkamo bhavati, yang mang smitva shrotiyo, shritiyo, bhavati. Beautiful verse here. It's already interesting in Sanskrit because the word smritva, remembering, meditating, is always repeated, and bhavati, you will become. So this is the verse. By remembering me, a shallow person becomes deep. I would say again. By remembering me, a shallow person becomes deep. By remembering me, an impure person becomes pure. Yes. By remembering me, an impious person becomes pious. Yes. By remembering me, one full of material desires becomes desireless. By remembering me, a fool becomes learned. A beautiful shloka which says how great the benefits are of not only pervading the body with Krishna consciousness, but the external body by acting and moving in active service with the hands and all the senses. No, this speaks of engaging the subtle body, the mind, the intelligence, and our sense of identity in remembering Krishna and becoming desireless, becoming spiritually advanced, becoming pure, and so on. It's a wonderful, wonderful world that opens. Let me end. When we had our Kirtan Mela in Mauritius, an island just before Africa, one of the devotees, who is a local resident, invited me to come to an underwater nature park. We were brought out in a boat to a coral reef. Then we were given these artificial frog feet. How do you call them?
Frog feet.
Frog feet. You know what? What is it?
Flippers.
Flippers. Acha. And we had got a snorkel. And I remember my childhood. I grew up on an island, and we went snorkeling. My dear devotees, I did not know that there exists a colorful underwater world with flora and fauna, means plants and a vast variety of fishes, and discovering this, I was totally in awe and I remember I said, "Oh Krishna," and then I swallowed water because I forgot I was snorkeling. It was so absolutely fascinating to discover this. And much more than this experience is the experience of discovering the world of remembrance of Krishna and holding that remembrance in the heart in a willful way. It's not just a passing thought, but you stay with it for some time. Tomorrow in the morning lecture, we will actually enter this beautiful realm through a purport of the verse Manmana Bhava Mat Bhakto, always think of me. No, we will actually follow Krishna's advice and do that. This will, I think, I hope, I pray, lead to wonderful discoveries in us that will stay with us for a long time. Hare Krishna. The classes start at 7 o'clock and end just before breakfast at 8:30. Then we will have breakfast and then an amazing, wonderful new presentation starts by our last speaker. He will introduce his subject at the end, I think. And now we will request our Jagatarini to introduce her subject. Hare Krishna. By the way, we are very happy to have to see you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
So, every year here at the Govardhan Retreat, I have the good fortune to present a lila in the evening. And sometimes it's difficult to find the particular lila that you want to present because it has to be dividable into five. And each one of those evening presentations has to last a substantial amount of time and have a completeness in itself. So one year, maybe 3 or 4, 5 years ago, I said to my husband, I said, "I know what I'm going to do this year. I'm going to do the Damodar Lila."
Wonderful.
And he looked at me and said, "No, you're not." He said, "I'm going to do the Damodar Lila." So I thought, yes, he was very offended that I was about to consider. And so I thought, I better wait a few years because, of course, these lilas can be told over and over and over again. So then when I started thinking, okay, when I present the lila, what I like to do is collect so many different accounts or references or commentaries or times that that pastime has been told by one of our previous authorities, the Goswamis, Kavi Karnapur, and so on. And then take all that information, and it's quite an arduous but wonderful experience to bring it all together and then sort through it and then take pieces, like you could say you're making a patchwork of something from here and something from there. But all the pieces are authentic. Rather than when I was young, I was a teacher of little boys, and so we would write out a lila. We would say, you know, Krishna went to the forest and he started singing a song, and we'd make up a song and put it in there, and the little boys would sing it, and it was very therapeutic and very auspicious. However, the content was somewhat created, nicely so. But what I have been trying to do is a little more intense than that, because I'm holding on to the words of those who have actually seen the lila. And I must say, it's a little confronting, because I haven't. So this year I found my content and I started doing my process. And I felt as though we sing this Dhammadharastikam, perhaps all of us sing Dhammadharastikam for 1 month every year. And this year we have a program in my husband and I and a group of devotees. We live in Perth, Western Australia, which is an isolated place. And yet we have a group of devotees and together we do our Dhammadhar Leela every night during Kartik, at least the first 2 weeks before we come, or I come over here to be in the actual place. And so this year, one of the devotees kept coming and sitting next to me and saying, "What does this word mean? What does this word mean?" Because I realized that we sing this Dhammadhar Leela, but the word for word, what we are singing, the Sanskrit words, we don't necessarily hold on to them because they're not in English. So later we may read in English, but at the time that you're singing, do you know what each word means? And the Dhammadhar Leela is extremely important. Extremely auspicious. So I had a sense that I wished to go in more deeply, both for myself, my benefit, but also for the benefit of yourselves also. Not so much following the Dhammadharastikam, which is also very auspicious, but actually penetrating more deeply into the Leela itself. So let me read you something that gave me my grounding. Be prepared that I'm going to ask you to follow me and be a little bit attentively thoughtful. God's form consists of eternal being, eternal knowledge, and eternal joy. He is in every way infinite. Throughout eternity, he perceives himself as the one who is to be known and the one who knows everything. He is the fullness of unlimited power, greatness, and majesty. And he is also the source of unlimited sweetness, beauty, and unlimited charm. His eternal companions are eternally bound to him and serve him with the fullness of pure serving love. They know him through the medium of their endless, selfless love. Because of their pure love, they fail to place their attention on his opulences, such as greatness, power, and majesty. But instead, they experience him as the fullness of beauty and sweetness. Even when he manifests his unlimited, majestic, powerful character, they notice it, but they fail to realize it as such. This extraordinary secret, wonderful secret, is revealed in this Dhammadhar Leela, which became manifest here on earth a little more than 5,000 years ago. In this loving play, Krishna appears appears as a baby and appears to follow the growth of an ordinary human child. His dear associates, who are like him in quality, do not have a sense of separateness from their love for him. Their joy is his joy. His joy is their joy. He loves them and they love him beyond the limitations of time and space. When this Leela becomes visible on earth, Yasoda Devi, Krishna's eternal mother, and Nanda Maharaj, his eternal father, both believe themselves to be mortal beings. Yet throughout all of time, they are absorbed in the fullness of pure loving service, and they exhaust themselves completely in their love for this divine child. The purpose of hearing this Damodar Leela is not to satisfy our craving for knowledge, nor is it to merely entertain us, but rather it is to awaken within us a desire that one day we too can experience the mood of service in pure love. For 1 month every year, we daily recite this beautiful Leela to assist us in this transition from rejection of God to that of heartfelt dedication by listening and praying to enter more closely into the mood of this beautiful pastime. The Damodar Leela is a glorification of the power, of the intense loving mood of service of Krishna's eternal mother, Yasodamayi, and how she conquers even the supreme with her love. So let us begin. We will follow the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam as our guide, with comments given by the previous realized authorities who have deeply studied and entered into this text. So this is my aspiration, to share with you an experience, as we spoke about, Sachinandan Maharaj mentioned so nicely, that we know so many things, we've heard so many things, we can repeat so many things also, but we may not be experiencing them on any level, even just a beginning level. And the purpose of coming here and all the presentations, every one of them, every part of every one of them, is to offer ourselves and then yourselves an experience of something that will awaken our longing to actually wake up and be alive in our relationship with Krishna. However long it will take us to come to that point, we want to be pushed forward by these beautiful presentations, each one with their own importance. We want to experience that pushing forward, or as Sachinandan Maharaj mentioned, we would like to be called, that Krishna will call us and say, come, come, come a little closer. I'm waiting for you. So, if you have time in the evening, if you're not too tired after a very auspicious, wonderful day, please come along and we can share this Damodar Leela together. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Am I audible? Yes. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamine Tanamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivase Sasanyavadi Prasatyade Satarane. One of the fortunes of sitting on the stage and speaking is that we get a chance to see Srila Prabhupada up there. And also, then it makes clear our desire to please him, clear to us. My presentation is, I liked very much what you said and what Maharaj said about the experience and leading us towards the experience, and the purpose of the of all our presentations is to awaken and guide us in increasing our desire to be with Krishna, because Krishna's pastimes are so charming and he's called the all-attractive one. He's called Krishna, because naturally every living entity is attracted to him. And somehow or another, Krishna Bhule Sejeev, Anadya Bahimu, we have turned our back on him and our relationship with him. It's still there, but we've turned our back on that. And sadhana bhakti is meant nitya sadasya bhavasya prakattam riddhi sadyata, to gradually turn towards Krishna, or quickly, depending on our intensity and sincerity of desire. But we want to turn to Krishna. That can't really be done by knowing, oh, I'm supposed to do that. Well, that can be done in that way. But really, if we develop an attraction for Krishna, then it certainly will happen more quickly. It's a strong force. We want this, we want this. So my specific presentation this year is on the chapters of the 10th canto, in between two major leelas of Krishna. And the first one is Krishna's Govardhan Leela, which is described in the 24th and 25th chapters of the 10th canto. And here we are in the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. And that's so prominent. And then the beginning in the 29th chapter and extending five other chapters, there's the smiling face of Krishna. The Krishna's dancing with the Brajagopikas in the rasa dance. So in between those two major leelas is three chapters. And the first one is when the residents of Vrindavan, who have been just staring at Krishna and their minds fully absorbed in Krishna and in the amazing pastime where he's lifting the hill, and they realize, wait a second, this is after, when they return home, they realize this is quite extraordinary, isn't it? This little boy is holding up a hill. And they're trying to understand his identity. And they go through a process where they question Nanda Maharaj about who Krishna is. And there's some very interesting philosophical points that parallel this incredible leela. So sometimes the question is, what's really important? Is it the philosophy that really is hidden within these pastimes, or the pastimes themselves? And the two are so interconnected, but ultimately and the pastimes are the essence, but without understanding what's going on a deeper philosophical level, let's put it this way, that it's much easier to enter into the pastimes if we understand really what's going on and why it's being presented in this way. The Bhagavatam is so scientific in its presentation and on every level. So that chapter, the 26th chapter, has two parts. First, the questions and the questioning of the Brijbasis as to who Krishna is and what his identity is. And the second part is Nanda Maharaj's reply to that. So that will be the first two chapters. And then in the next two classes, the 27th chapter, is when Indra, he apologizes. He comes with Surabhi, the celestial cow. He comes with her on the order of Lord Brahma, and he comes and in a very humbled way, because before we can actually be humble, it seems that we have to be humbled. And people sometimes ask me, how do you become humble? And I say, just be patient. As we go through life, it just sort of happens. And Srila Prabhupada even said it, an old man can't be proud. He even said that. Because all the things that we are proud of are taken away by the force of time. They're just gifts of Krishna anyway, in any case. So Indra has been humbled. And Krishna has done that in a wonderful way in the Govardhana Leela. And then he apologizes, and that's the third class. Very, very deep, and there's so many instructions for me as a conditioned soul and how to turn to Krishna in Indra's apology. And then following that, Krishna replies in a very brief but deep way to Indra's apology. And then Surabhi presents her appeal to Krishna. Indra comes to Krishna in fear, and Surabhi comes in joy. So that will be the next two lessons, my classes, the third and the fourth. And then in the fifth chapter, it's in some senses so astounding, and it leads in a subtle way that we will speak about when Krishna goes to rescue Nanda Maharaj from Varuna Loka, or Nanda Maharaj has been taken from the Jamuna into the watery kingdom of Varuna, and it's very astounding how that goes. And then it leads to something still more astounding, how the desires of the cowherd men are fulfilled by Krishna in a way that's very, very revealing. Yes, so that would be the fifth of classes, and I think that's from 4:30 to 6 p.m. in the evening. But in between Maharaj's presentation in the morning and my presentation, and then finally Jagatrini Mataji's presentation, in between that, we have something that's very, we found very, there's no word deepifying, but it's confronting in many ways, and it's humbling in many ways, and it leads to many, it's something that generally speaking we don't have the time to do. And that's time to just have nothing else to do except be alone with Krishna, and then also together with Krishna's devotees. This is such a busy Kali Yuga world. Maharaj mentioned that in his welcoming. It's such a busy Kali Yuga world that's full of distractions. So when we will go to, in the presence of Giriraj Govardhan, And we won't take with us one of the central distracting features of Kali Yuga. Everyone will leave them at home, and even the photographers will not take photographs, because we just want this to be a very intimate and private time with Krishna, between us and Krishna. And we'll also have Monavrata during that time, which means no, etc., etc., etc. We just sit, and there's some guidance in the form of prompts in this way, and we sit and read, perhaps. We write. Prabhupada suggested that each day we write to keep our intelligence active, and also to keep a record of how we are doing and what we are doing. And we will also chant according to our desires, japa, or even gently sing to the Lord in a very deep way, and pray. But it will be our time to decide basically how we will use that time alone with Krishna. It's something that, again, that we as aspiring devotees really, I know that I have to-do lists, and I'm just thinking as I'm writing my to-do lists, I can't wait till I check off. There's some satisfaction in checking off things in the to-do list, but my real desire is when everything is checked off, then I can do what I really want to do. But the problem is that time never comes, because the to-do lists increase and continue, etc., etc. So what do we want to do, really? We want to have time to be with Krishna on whatever level we can. So there's a combination of spontaneity in this and structure in this time alone with Krishna, and then after we share with devotees as much as we feel as we want to share with devotees our whatever realizations and or challenges or that come to us at that time. So that will be right in the presence of Giriraj Govardhan. So close to Giriraj Govardhan, who is such a kind person. But tomorrow we'll describe it in a little more detail. I just want to tell something now. So we advise everyone to turn off their mobile phones. Otherwise we'll all stare at you. So please be on time for that. Because if you're late, you're minimizing your time with Krishna, alone with Krishna, and with the devotees. And we will be giving you this evening a little guidebook that says what it's about and what will happen, and we'll discuss it more tomorrow before we actually enter into the first session. And each day between our classes, we will have time to reflect. Between the class, we'll have time to be with Krishna, and that will be a time that we can not only hearing intensive the classes that are given, but a time to reflect on them and their meaning in our lives. And is there anything I can practically do to apply the principles, my current inspiration, what I've heard? That's what we'll do when we write in our books that will be given. So everyone will get a booklet that gives a very basic understanding of what will happen tomorrow in our Alone with Krishna time. And tomorrow morning we'll get one of these bags that contain all the ingredients, the book, the pens, and how to set up our own personal private altar there. Everyone will set up their own altar and offer incense, a candle, flowers to our altar. If you have pictures of your Gurumaras or Vaishnavas that inspire you, we'll provide some pictures of Giriraj, of Srila Prabhupada, And also, so everyone will get one of these tomorrow, and also some what we call prompts that will guide as much as we want to be guided, our experience. And sometimes we don't know what to do next because it's such a rare time that we have nothing to do and with no sense of distraction and no reason to distract ourselves. We confront our relationship with Krishna, so to speak. And anyway, there's much to be said more, but more than said, it will be experienced starting tomorrow each day. Does it intrigue you, this concept? How many of you have done this before? Yeah, that's... Oh, gee whiz. I asked one devotee who had come last year and participated in this in a very concentrated way, how she felt about the Harinam retreat and going again and doing the same thing. And she said it wasn't at all the same thing. It's all new each time. Okay, so I'll zip up the bag till tomorrow and after, and you'll get again this tomorrow morning. And please read this tonight or tomorrow morning before any of the classes. And one suggestion is please take some kind of notes during Maharaj's class and all the classes so that you have... So you know what you want to reflect on, if you so desire, points that either essential points, some devotees write down every word, or something that causes, that brings to your consciousness what you've heard. I know that Maharaj and Zakhtarini have worked very hard to craft these presentations so that they're meaningful and deep and very practical. So just so that we don't forget everything that we've heard as we go through the next event of life, especially after prasadam, that tends to like delete everything from our hard drive or random access memory. So take notes on the essential points that really capture you or inspire you, or write down everything, and then you can refer to them, and then that could be part of the reflection as you're writing and praying and chanting and reading. We'll also have some very special section of from Chaitanya Charitamrita for you to read, to refer to as you read as well. So it's, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Good, thank you very much, Vuijan Prabhu and Jagatarini. Matati, now we will go into, we will welcome a very special guest, and a very dear friend of most of the devotees. I remember when I was young and I wanted to give someone a gift, I gave them a tape of Agnidev Prabhu's kirtan. That was a special. So our Agnidev is here.